All right, here we are for what month is it? May Media Club. I'm Claire. Do you guys want to just say who you are and so we can identify your voice as we listen to this later?
Yeah, hi, I'm Hazel.
Hi, Sarish. Joined after a long time.
Great start. So we started talking about Swimmers, which is a film that was nominated.
Yeah, I thought it was good. One thing that shocked me was, at the end of the film, they're talking about the two sisters and the older sister who went back to Lesbos to help the
Yes.
refugees. And it
I
said
was going to bring
she's
that
in
up.
the middle of some criminal prosecution related to what was it related to? Human trafficking and some other offenses, but it seems like they don't have enough evidence, and her and some other people are maybe going to get 20 years in jail.
Wait,
And
is
it
that the
seems like it's
latest
unresolved.
verdict?
Well, I Googled it and I couldn't get clear information. On Wikipedia, it seems like it hasn't been resolved.
Quite shocked me because like the story involves like two sisters and they flee Syria to get to Germany. But they are in Greece for a bit, and the older sister feels like really compelled to go back and help the refugees.
They go to
And
Germany. That's where they end up first.
But yeah, before they go, they're like in Greece, and the older sister, Yusra and Sarah. So Sarah goes back,
It's the
but then
older one, yeah.
the older one and the government of Greece has sued her for like human trafficking and et cetera, et cetera. And I was quite shocked. I was reading into it, and there are a lot of people who believe that Greece is doing that to prevent more, because she's helping refugees like move on, right, across the shores into mainland Europe. So they're like, no, the government is actually more angry that she's helping these refugees like get on. So they need like a reason to criminally convict her. But yeah, like Hazel said, there doesn't seem to be like actual evidence. But it does remain like unresolved. But what I also read was, the because they meet a swimming coach in Germany who is Matthias. He, I,
Sven.
oh wait, oh Sven,
Or
damn it.
maybe his
Oh,
real name in real life
sorry, the
is.
actor's name is Matthias. I was just reading.
Oh.
I'm sorry, my bad. So Sven, he's quite active in defending the sisters, like on his social media channels and stuff. So that's quite heartwarming. But I don't know if you both like read the synopsis, but I didn't read anything going into it. So when I watched the movie, I thought it was just so. I know this sounds like really cheesy, but it was just so nice to see like a dad so proud of his two girls, and he was already, oh, my girls are gonna swim in the Olympics, and he was so happy, and they were like a really bright, like three sisters, right, in the household, like just a really happy household, and they're teenagers, right? Yeah, and they are aware there's like a destructive scene happening in their home, but they're like, they're still gonna live their lives, like they're teenagers, so they're still like going out, like living their life. And I really like that it showed that, because like if you read a lot of Western news and those scenes now, it's like, oh, everyone in Syria is bad, like it's war torn, but they're still teenagers. They were trying to live a normal life, and it was like a nice scene to remind everyone, like, look, these are normal kids who were in a really horrible situation, and they were forced to go to Greece and the or to mainland. And their cousin, I forgot his name. The cousin that the dad
I
entrusted.
think he is an Egyptian actor. I'm sure I've seen him in Egyptian
Oh, is
dramas
he?
before, I
Oh.
think.
Oh, his
Unless
name's Nazar, right?
he really looks like an Egyptian actor.
He is an Egyptian actor. You
He
are
is. Is that
correct.
why he was speaking English the whole time? Because I was wondering about that, because his accent, he might not have been able to do a Syrian accent well.
Maybe.
Because it was weird. Like the girls, when they were in Syria, they were all speaking Arabic. But when the sisters talked to each other or the cousin, they were speaking in English. And it was like, why are you speaking in English? And I thought it was maybe his fault, the actor's fault. They couldn't trust him
That's
with a Syrian
interesting.
accent.
I thought it was because you know how they were the media that they're consuming were like American pop songs and stuff. So I thought they were trying to be like cool and speak in English.
Maybe. So I thought the sisters maybe went to a American school or a, I don't know, some kind
Oh, I
of
don't think they did
English
though.
language school. No, I
Maybe.
have no
But
idea.
I mean, I honestly, it was because he was also like really supportive. It was just very supportive, like tight-knit family scenes that I just was like, this is really good to see. I just really, and very supportive people around the, there are really hard scenes in the middle.
Yeah, with the boat to Greece from Turkey and
I think I read about it, but it was kind of on the back of my mind, so I didn't realize this was a story. But yeah, like basically, they pay, obviously, probably their life savings to someone who gives them a bow, in quotation, a literal bow.
Dingy.
And yeah, and other people, some people look at it and they're like, we don't want to die, and they just like flee. But then there are other people who are obviously so desperate that they get on this boat, and everything's being weighed down. So you see like Yusra, her dad encouraged her to pack her swimming medals because she's a really great swimmer, and so she like flings it into the sea, and she and her sister get out and like push the boat onto shore, so they literally like help like swim. Like that was obviously difficult, but then as if that wasn't hard enough, when they're trying to like get to Germany, they have to endure like a lot as young women, I'll just put it that way, like the thing that happened in the factory.
Yeah, and they're walking from
and walking
mostly walking and getting the odd bit of transport through Hungary, Serbia, I don't know where else they went through.
It was a lot. And you know, she was asked to swim for the in the Olympics as the Olympic team. Yes. And then the other Olympians have the nerve to be like, oh, she didn't work hard enough. I'm like, are you? She probably worked harder than you. She risked her life to get to where she is. That was just so like rude and racist and just so out of touch. But then I read as a follow up, she's continued to represent that team by choice. She's like proud. And they seem to be thriving now, at least on social media. They seem to be doing great.
When I looked up, the younger sister, it sounds like she went to one more Olympics with that team, and then she gave up swimming and is now working in kind of advocacy,
related fields,
you know, like talking, helping people from with a similar situation to her. And
that's the thing, like we just raising awareness. There's probably so much we just don't realize. Like you can read about it, you can like watch movies, but it's just such a traumatic, terrible situation, and like the way that people, especially like this government, is so cavalier about like refugees, like why do you think these people want to like leave? It's just, I don't know, like it was definitely a little hard to watch at times. I was definitely like tearing up like watching it. But
you know, when you were talking about the whole boat scene, I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but it kind of makes me feel like I really need to see it. It just made me think about a situation just a few weeks ago when I was returning from Germany here. And we returned by road, so we took the car, and of course we took a ferry to cross the channel, and I was literally just sat in this really empty ferry. This is a really huge ferry that was like so empty. I think there was 20 cars on board. That was it for like the ferry was huge. It was really quiet, and I was just looking at the water, and I was just thinking, I'm so privileged to be just sitting here and crossing this channel without risking my life, without being questioned, without being, just because of a few papers that I have. It just made me think and rethink this whole situation about how people are risking their lives to really find safety, to find, I mean, people would be like, why would people be risking their lives and doing this if they actually had, if they had another choice? And kind of came down weighing on me, like my heart got really heavy, and it made me think a lot. Just like looking at the waters, just like so many have died just crossing this place to just get a chance of a life. And then you don't even know if you make it to the other side. And then when you make it, it's not even like, you don't even know if you're going to be shipped off to Rwanda or somewhere else. So these kind of things, just like whilst you were saying this, the journeys that people have gone, and like the things that people have gone through, and the hardships they've taken on, it just made me think about that crossing the channel. Quite
it's heavy.
It's quite heavy.
That part of the film's hard to watch.
It is all related, particularly because this governor is, there has always been a very polarizing view on refugees, right, and like accepting refugees and all that. But having a conversation with a colleague recently, I forget who I may have brought it up to each of you, to be honest, if I'm repeating myself, sorry. But we're just kind of having a discussion on like why this government in particular is so against refugees and how ridiculous it is, blah, 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 blah. And then he was kind of saying, what is weird is that if you think about the most expensive points in one's life, it's upon birth and at the end of life. Most immigrants, or like, and I'm just like wildly like speaking at a high level thing here. So most immigrants, refugees that come in, they're in the middle of life. And most of them are like highly educated. They've already consumed like the things that they need. Like they're already born. Like they've already done everything. So if anything, they're feeding into an economy that like, they won't be taking anything away. So like it's just so bizarre to me the propaganda that exists like against refugees. Like they're gonna come in, they're gonna take our jobs. They need X, Y, Z. It's like no, most of them they've already have an education. They're already born. They're alive. They don't need anything else. Like they're gonna feed into the economy. And what? And it's like what you repeated against her. It's like why do you think they're leaving their homes? Like you have to be in a truly traumatic, terrible position to leave your home and to risk your life like that. So.
It's even more expensive to keep. I mean, I was reading, I think I was reading an article on like the housing of refugees, how it's so expensive. They're just keeping them in some sort of hotels, and it's
Yes.
really weighing down on the government because the government has to pay for all these like hilariously high, don't quote me on that. I don't know the exact reference, but just a
No,
few
I
weeks
read
ago, I
that.
saw it
Yeah.
somewhere.
I saw that
And
too.
it's just hilariously expensive rather than letting them work because
Yeah.
they're not allowed to work.
That's what
They
I'm
would
saying.
rather be generating. I mean, of course, I'm not an expert and I don't know the nitty-gritty and everything. There might be more to different things and policies and whatnot. But just like it doesn't make sense to me for the government to be paying
To
tremendous
just
amounts of
hold them.
money for to just hold them to be
Yeah.
then sending them off somewhere again. And that's also on the expense of the government. It's a bit weird.
I think if we just scale it back, it's like just fundamentally, why are we wasting time and spending money on just holding these poor people who have risked their life in one place? And then, like, holding them in limbo for months and months and months, and then complaining about how, like, we're wasting money. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
Well, how
hello.
long does it take to be allowed to work?
I'm not really sure, but I think it's on a it depends case to case. It can take long. So, I mean, I'm children to immigrants, and my husband is an immigrant. So I know from him that you have like a case pending. And it depends on the case being passed. And this is the thing. You get benefits, you get housing and whatnot. You get all these free things, which is brilliant. I mean, I think there are different stages. Again, I'm not an expert and I have not much information on how the actual process is. But I know that there are several stages for you to be able to stay and then be. And again, there are differences between asylum seekers and refugees and whatnot. But I think it all depends on the personal situation and what kind of stage they're at in the case. You probably need to read more about that and find out. But it can take from months to years to whatnot. So just all depends, I think, if they're even allowed to stay. Of course, they're not allowed to stay, then of course, working themselves though.
Must
But
be so
yeah.
stressful. Yeah, and it must be really horrible for mental health just standing around or sitting around not knowing when you can move on with your life. You can't do
And
anything,
not
just
knowing
sitting there.
what the tomorrow says. I mean, it could also be a no tomorrow, and then people are like shipped off or like blown off. I mean, again, I feel very privileged to say that I never had to like endure this, but I have seen it on people around me. And this, I think, this uncertainty, and I think not being able to plan. I mean, life goes on in the end, right? I don't know, you have a partner, you get children and whatnot. Or even you want to progress, you want to self-actualize. There's nothing like certain about tomorrow. I think that's what I would find really exhausting and very, I think it would eat me up to not know that I can't progress for tomorrow. I can't do something what that I really want to do. I can't look after my needs and whatnot. I think is really, really tough, regardless of all the things that one may have gone through to get to that point. But yeah,
Yeah, the uncertainty of it all.
I don't know, dreams for the future and whatnot. And I think also in terms of like sometimes, I mean, the characters, as you both have described, they knew how to communicate well. But then there are also people who do not know any English,
Yeah.
which is fine. At some point, it just reminded me of my I did like a placement in a language center for asylum seekers. seekers and refugees a few years back in uni. And there was this guy, and he was so wonderfully friendly, and he was trying to learn English entry too. And I think that's also on me. I was a bit biased because I wasn't able to communicate with them well. And it turned out that he used to be a GP in Syria. And I'm like,
yeah.
You know, this fact just made me think, just like that, not knowing English reduces so many people to this sort of like ignorant person, or they don't have any clue, they're not knowledgeable, they're just here to eat up our money and whatnot. And that kind of just made me think and rethink this whole, if you're not learning the language, you're not adapting, you're not integrating,
I know.
It was quite interesting to see how people who've gone through so hardships to really get to a point where they're just like reduced to I feel like almost like some sort of like inhumane sort of like picture.
Yeah, they're like othered in that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Their qualifications won't count.
Yeah.
They'll have to start from the beginning again.
Qualifications. That's also again another story.
I'm glad the story was told.
My mom was a midwife in Pakistan when she migrated to Germany, but she never continued midwifery because her midwifery qualification wasn't accepted. So she worked at a care home for like 10 years or so. But like these kind of things, like the people who are skilled, who know their stuff, is the system won't allow them to.
And again, I don't know how to phrase it. Like Sarah kind of touched on it earlier, that like these people are like other, and they're like often depicted as freeloaders. And it's like, first of all, it's so ridiculous. And second, this is why I'm glad this film was made in this way. Like,
yeah.
They really tried to. Well, I think they successfully.
It's
show,
realistic,
like, these are just
isn't
girls.
It?
Yeah, it's realistic.
Very realistic.
And like, these are normal people. And it's like, what do you think? They don't, like, once they like risk their life to get to this country, they don't. You're not giving them any options to continue with their work. What do you think they're gonna do? Like, of course they're just gonna like sit there if you're just gonna put them in limbo. So it's very heavy and deep. I guess I'll just put it like that.
No, I feel like I'm gonna sit down tonight and watch this movie.
Oh no,
just be aware, it's quite long. Is it 2 hours, 2.5 hours or something? It was longer than I expected it to be. Yeah.
Oh, it made me cry.
I probably did at some point. I must have done.
Yeah, it's.
I remember the boat part just being like.
Ugh. I know. I was like,
Yeah.
And you know, one of the, I forgot her name. They make friends with this woman who has a baby with her baby. She wants to go to the UK, but it was hinted that she was running away from domestic abuse, and then they deported her. Like, why did you deport this woman?
Her country, yeah.
So now she's like, you just essentially pushed her back in her, like, horrible domestic abuse situation. Yeah. It was very, very important, I think, very timely right now. But you know, there are probably, like, tons of stories about this that we just don't know. Oh, my gosh. Someone was interviewing the PM of, Barbados, Jamaica, woman. The journalist was essentially like, what are you going to do with all your, why do you have so much debt and corruption in your country? And the PM was like, why do you, are you serious right now? Why do you think we got to this position in the first place? You cannot be on your moral high ground and honestly question me on how there is corruption and debt. Like, and also that's another, like, you know, when there's corruption in the US or like the UK or whatever, people don't weigh the same way as corruption in these like other countries. So just like there's so many topics at play here. Like it just maybe I'm like reading into it too much, but yeah, I was thinking about all of that all at once.
I think it's interesting how this movie has like started so many conversations. I think it's quite intriguing.
Yeah, definitely watch it. That's what they go up. Anyways. And then Serge nominated Black Panther. So,
was that you?
Yeah. Why did you nominate Black Panther?
I think I just recently watched it when the nominations had started, and I watched it, I think, on Disney Plus at that time. And I was like, that'd be interesting to talk about. But yeah, it's been a while now. When did I watch it? Goodness,
three months ago. Yeah, I watched it. Did you watch it, Halo?
I did, but I haven't seen Black Panther 1, so I watched the second one without watching the first one because I didn't have time. I wanted to watch both of them, but I mean, I had time, but I didn't get round to
Now both are good.
Watching number two made me want to watch number one. I don't normally like superhero movies that much, but I really enjoyed it, actually.
Neither do I, to be honest. I'm not really a superhero fan. Just thought it was like a different take on superhero stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I personally like number one more than number two.
Oh, okay.
What I love is the major, like, that the cast is majorly black, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think I just love, you know what, it sounds maybe ridiculous, but I just love these really tiny lines in between that just make me chuckle, like, oh, there's the colonizer's face again. It's just like, yeah, oh my god, I die, honestly. It's just so,
yeah, I was chuckling
because I think I wouldn't expect it, and I just, the first time I heard these kind of lines, I was like, oh my goodness, this is too good. This is too funny. And not only funny, it's just like, I think it's just real and new. Actually, never spoken out loud. And I think that's what makes it really good.
Mm.
I'll come back. I don't know. I'm trying to gather thoughts right now. I'm trying to find all these
things. No, we'll let you think. Hazel, what did you think?
Yeah, I just thought there was a lot more to it than compared to your average superhero movie. And I really liked that under the water country. I can't remember what it was called now.
I forgot what it was called. I know what you
something. Mean. I thought that was really interesting that they were Mayan people that were fleeing from the Spanish.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Colonizers. And going under the sea, and like you could see where they were coming from. Like they were being really violent and aggressive, but there was a reason for it. Like I like the guy who played the
Namor.
I thought he was good, and I just liked their whole. I thought it was quite a cool original. I liked that country. I thought it was good.
It was creative. I was not expecting.
Yeah,
that.
Creative. Yeah, that's the right.
You know, obviously, I love that. Well, I guess I love how Marvel is trying to like diversify, whether it's for profit reasons. Let's like get into that, but. You know, like black, and it is like a black cast, and but you know what, this one in particular is very intrigued because it's like protagonists are majority woman. I actually really like Shuri.
Oh yeah,
she's like
She wasn't. Is that the main
the scientist?
Princess?
Yeah.
The princess. I thought her acting was
main character
super strong.
Okay. I found it interesting to see her in the lead role because she wasn't in the lead role in the first one.
Yeah.
Hence, I found it a bit different. Of course, I don't know if Hazel knows. I don't know. I can't remember names really well. But
the mom, the queen?
No, the king, T'Challa.
Oh, Chadwick Boseman?
Yes.
Yeah.
I found out much later that... when the second movie was about to come out, that he had actually passed away, and the beginning scene was really in dedication for him, and I thought that was, I think that was done really wonderfully.
Yeah,
the way they in the beginning have put that dedication in for him, and I think it was done also really creatively the way they've incorporated this, his absence from the movie.
Definitely, that's what I thought too.
Story of the. Of the whole Black Panther, and I found it really cool that Shuri ended up being the Black Panther because not officially, but that's what I found good because like, in the first movie I was just questioning it that it had to be a man. And I was
Me
like,
too.
Yeah, that's not really cool.
I was like, come on.
Why did it have to be a man?
Yeah,
and that was like a turn in the whole, regardless from that, what I really liked about like was Shuri's development. If I look at her character from like the very beginning and like how she deals with the loss of her brother and like how she goes through all these stages and she's always like, and I do like the fact that in the end, she chose not to take the revenge.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that showed immense sort of like power in and also like, I wouldn't say necessarily forgiveness, but like some sort of greatness, some sort of like.
Maybe she was showing grace to Namor. Is that the right word?
But nevertheless, I'm just trying to again gather all my thoughts. It's always so interesting to see the development of that CIA agent. What was his name again? Ross?
No, I forgot his name. I know who you're talking about.
The guy from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
And
the
Sherlock.
Guy. Oh, yeah. It was weird. I found it weird with an American accent.
Like, the white guy.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting to say the white guy? Because normally, yeah, you wouldn't do that because it's just too many.
The Asian guy.
He's the only one. Yeah. He's the only one that counts. Hang on. What?
I wonder if. Because, you know, all of these actors, they're not African. They're American, yeah. Right? And I've seen this in the Asian community as well. Like, when there are, like, movies where you'll see, like, Asian Americans playing, like, Koreans or Chinese or, you know, Japanese, whatever. And then they'll put on, like a Korean actor. Like for Minari, for example, like the main dad, we talked about this movie, I think, before. He's Korean, he's American, but he's playing like a Korean dad. So he puts on an accent. And so, a lot of the feedback were like, yeah, he was all right. And so I was reading when Black Panther, the first movie came out, I was reading some comments that were like, I don't know how I feel about these actors putting on an African accent. And I was like, interesting. But I'm not part of the community, so I didn't want to comment. So I just kind of left it. But find it interesting that. Something like this does come out, and I you know, you mentioned something about Sherry Hazel, so I was actually like reading some comments about like her acting, and a lot like the consensus was like, yeah, she was great, but there were some comments on her like accent, and it was like, who's her accent coach? And it's like they all did an amazing job. Like, it's really hard to do an accent.
I heard it a few times in the movie where she like got back to her American accent. I've seen her in, I think the first time I've seen her. And do you know, when I was watching the first movie, I kept looking, I was like, I've seen her somewhere else. Where was it? There's this episode in Black Mirror.
Yes, I saw her in that, yeah.
Where the Black Museum or something. And there she was the main lead. And I was like, oh yeah, she's on there.
She was really good in that. She
did an amazing job in that. Episode.
She
that
did a British really accent cool. And went back to an American one. Like,
that was crazy good.
Yeah. I just thought that it's like, okay, like, can, like, why are, I don't know, sometimes, especially with accent criticism, like, can you do it better? Then don't comment on it. I don't know. But you know, why did he have wings on his feet? I'm sorry, that was a bit
bizarre.
Like, random.
Well, yeah, he had wings on his feet and pointy ears because his mom drank that potion.
No, but all of them were that color because his mom drank that potion, but
she was the only one that was pregnant at the time, so I think just,
I know, but how did that result in like
wings? I don't know.
And I know it's like a film and there are fantasy elements to it, but that was the one thing I was like, oh. And then, you know,
that was a bit too much, wasn't it? I felt like, you know, I know Wakanda isn't real, but then I feel like the way they depicted it in the first movie, it made it feel very realistic, like something like this could actually be there. But then I can't remember the underwater world, the city, the name, something with T. I can't remember it. But that felt a bit very fantasy for me. That felt a bit, very, very, like,
the concept was cool, like Hazel said.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, definitely. Backstory, and I think the way they shot it was incredibly well, like from a cinematographic.
I've never said that out loud before.
Oh, goodness.
Cinematography,
but I think the adjective is pronounced differently. Anyways,
probably.
It was from a filmy sort of point of view, the way it's been filmed.
Yes.
I think it was done in an excellent way. It was very beautiful to watch. I think it was just done really well. And I think it was probably a hard job to shoot it like that. So from that perspective, I think it was really cool. It was quite mesmerizing the way they depicted the whole world, underwater world. It was quite interesting, I think.
Yeah. You know, they had a budget.
And the whole concept and the whole story.
What was it called? I forgot. It was a terrible movie. It had Jason, what's his name?
From Statham? No.
I forgot. And Amber Heard in it. Like, it was about Atlantis, kind of. And that was supposed to be all under Aquaman.
Terrible movie. I'm
oh, I've not seen sorry. That. Yes, not
and
great.
The way they filmed it, it was horrible. Their hair goes all over. It's like the way they filmed it, I was like, what are you doing? But then with this, the underworld, it was very, it was just very good. Like, what a
yeah.
difference.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they did, but dang. Like, wow. But
well, they weren't like mermaids or anything like that. They were just kind of blue.
But
although Namor, whatever his name was, he wasn't blue.
Oh, he was like normal
Maybe
color.
maybe because he was king? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he has special powers to adapt. I don't know. But when they like cut off, Shuri cut off his wing. He was still alive? Like, hello? How is he still
she
alive?
She stabbed through her stomach and she was still alive. Why was she still alive?
Because he was able to do both, I think, the breathing and the. I think that was the difference. The other ones had all
his
mass.
His mom was pregnant. Yeah.
All right. Serge kind of followed through.
I think he was like the oldest as well, right? Even though he didn't age. Yeah.
But yeah, that was. And you know the whole like interplay between like making fun of like the CIA or was it the FBI? I forgot. And, like that was just so funny.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They're stupid. Like
yeah. Oh, totally forgot. I felt like this whole scientist sort of perspective that was interesting that they chose a very young black girl.
I love that. That was very cool. MIT and
very liberating. Very the whole take on that perspective was wonderful.
Yeah.
And also the actress did a good job. I think she for the role she had. I mean, but of course, like again, I felt like there were so many things that weren't too realistic. I know that they were trying to be optimistic. Unfortunately, is not reality.
Yeah.
Of course not reality, but yeah, you know what I mean. But I liked the fact that they pointed out Spanish colonization. And the whole brutality of it, I think that was a new way of thinking about, for example, Southern American sort of whole journey of colonization the people who suffered under it. I think that kind of story doesn't get told often.
Yeah.
The ancient culture that have been erased through that, like, for example, the Mayan culture and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that was quite interesting. Could have probably had more on it, I felt.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Do you know what language were they speaking? A made up, I know they said they spoke Maya Yucatan, but was it really that, or was it like they just made it up for the movie? Or I was wondering if it was like a genuine language they were speaking.
I don't know why it sounded not like a genuine language to me, but that might just be my ignorance. I think
that's a good point, though. I wonder,
that'd be interesting to know. I have no idea. Yeah.
They probably hired linguists for that. I wouldn't be surprised. They have the budget. That's very cool. I mean, it kind of, you know what? So I over the weekend, I watched Ant-Man because Peter wanted to.
The new one?
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Is it good? Okay, I'm guessing.
Okay.
The reaction.
Okay. It's such a stark comparison to like Black Panther. And I was just thinking they follow like a very similar, like what I thought watching this was like all the inside jokes are like they're so American, which is surprise surprise, like created by Marvel, but like they follow the same format. It's like something dangerous is about to happen, they take a moment and they like reflect, like they always talk, like they have an opportunity to escape, but instead of escaping right away, they pause right in front of the escape exit, and then they just like chat. There's some like stupid joke, and it always like follows that format. It's not like very deep, and they try to like make it funny, and they make these like corny jokes. I'm like but I feel like with Black Panther, it was like kind of like deviated from the format of it. And to be honest, I feel like Shang-Chi did that too a little bit, and I don't know necessarily the reasons why. Maybe it's because like it was really different, but I don't know. What's
maybe they just have better writers. Like With the Black Panther film, if I didn't catch something, I rewound it because I wanted to catch what they said. Yeah. Whereas if I was watching any other one, I would just be like,
yeah,
whatever. Like I doubt I missed.
Yeah, it wasn't because what was it? The other one, Love and Thunder.
Okay.
That was so bad, in my opinion. Like,
who wrote this? And there was a Danish comment or Icelandic comment or some apology, I can't remember, but he was commenting on Marvel, and he was kind of, why did they call it Asgard? That doesn't even exist. It sounds stupid. Like, why did they make Thor this way? Like, what were the cultural commentators? So that like really confused me, because it's like Marvel has like such a huge budget, and like, why wouldn't they consult with anyone about that? But with Black Panther, it kind of felt like they did use their budget to make it actually good. So that's like the difference that I saw.
Even the action scenes, I think, I'm not that much of an action sort of film fan, but I felt like the action that they did, I think it was executed really well. It was really
the ship drag on.
You know, when they cut up the supply and the
weird the sonic attacks, is that what
that was cool. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, they mixed in quite a lot of different stuff. So it was it was more interesting to watch than usual. I usually space out when those scenes happen in other
it's the same thing. But it was different this time.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I liked the motorbike on the, was it on the bridge?
Or
yeah,
it was in Boston.
Was it?
It was basically because the girl goes to MIT.
Cool. I want to watch the first one, because I heard they go to Busan in the first Black Panther.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm really curious.
There were some comments by the Korean community that were like, out of all upset. The places they could have highlighted Korea, they like chose the worst bits. And I was like, that's hilarious.
What, as in Busan or parts of Busan?
I think they like went down like random alleyways. I'm like, what are you doing?
They didn't have Namsan Tower in the background.
Like a secret room of where people were like trading or like, no, they were playing.
They were gambling. Casino,
gambling.
It was like a special casino though.
Yeah, it was really,
But yeah, so no, thanks for recommending this, because I probably would never have got around to watching any of the Black Panthers, but now I want to watch the first one.
It's actually deeper than you think.
Like, I normally only watch a superhero film.
The first one was really good, and I think the ending was really deep, so I'm not going to spoil it for you. I think it's nice if you watch it, but the ending was like, it made my heart like, oh my god, no, why did he say that? You know, what was his name again? The antagonist,
Michael B. Jordan.
Is that the guy who pops up in her dream?
Yeah.
He's got an American accent. Is he supposed to have an American accent?
Yeah, he's supposed to.
It would
make, I think the second movie would make much more sense to you if you watched the first one.
They made a lot of references to the first one.
Like, I didn't think it was, like, you can still fill in the gap. Yeah, that's why I told you, Hazel. Like, it's, but also Angela Bassett, like, I can't believe what happened.
Explain.
The queen.
Oh, yeah, that was a shame.
Like, this is a spoiler, when she dies. Remember?
She drowns.
Her mom dies. Remember? He kills her with the water.
No, who are you talking about? I'm trying to recall.
Shuri's mom.
Shuri's mom. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. I didn't expect that, to be honest. That was a bit disappointing. She shouldn't have died.
Me too. I was furious about it. I was like, no.
Yeah, that was a bit too much. Yeah. I was like, no. Can't handle this. It was death.
Do you think maybe she just picked up another role and they had to like conveniently let her exit that
probably space? I actually had this thought, to be honest. I thought she had to probably leave the franchise,
because she is phenomenal, and like everything she does is like, wow,
amazing.
That was intense.
She's so beautiful, honestly.
I know.
Oh my goodness, she's so beautiful. I remember after I watched, I know I do the stupid thing. Like, whenever I watch a movie, I like just start Googling people and like,
oh, yeah, me too.
Looking at their Wikipedia page and whatnot. And I don't know how old she is, but like, man, she's so beautiful.
I know. Just goals. Sometimes when I see like an evil character, I need to like Google them talking to make sure they're like normal people in real life. Like, okay, you're funny. Great. Move on.